Welcome to an episode of Wine and Wed, a podcast about all things weddings and more while enjoying a glass or two or a bottle of cheap wine. I am your host, Glennie, founder and owner of Calmarin Designs and Events. Each week you'll hear tips on planning a wedding, stories of personal experiences, fun interviews, answers to important questions from couples planning their big day, and just weird and random things. There aren't really any rules because we'll just blame it on the wine and make edits of the inappropriateness later, or not. Thanks for spending some time with us today. Now pour yourself your first glass of wine and jump into your weekly dose of Wine and Wed. Hi everyone, happy Wednesday. Give me a second here. I'm just gonna take a sip of my wine real quick. Whew. No, it's not that kind of day. It's just, it's been a while since I had a sip of wine, which was yesterday. So in this episode, I kind of wanted to do something light and airy. I know the past couple episodes were a lot of information, heavy content, and so I wanted to take a break from doing that and get into something naturally weird. So I wanted to dive into some Q&A about myself and my experience as an event planner. My path to where I am now has been a pretty wild journey. Lots of turns and twists. But it got me here, and I'm very happy to be here and doing what I'm doing. I feel extremely, extremely grateful to be doing what I'm doing, because this is a dream. This is what I've always wanted to do. This is what is expected of me, that I can actually be happy in doing. And it just, this is who I am. And so to say that and to be doing that and to be paid in being you is just the biggest accomplishment I've ever done in my entire life. So I've been doing this for a few years now, and so I wanted to provide a little bit of insight of what I've learned in the past couple of years of being in this industry, and knowing what I know now and what I wish I have known before, all that good stuff. So if you're trying to figure out your life right now and seeing if this is something you want to do, or you know, you've been wanting to do this, and then how exactly, you know, are you going to do this, or what is your first step in getting into this, hopefully I can provide you with some insight on that, at least for my perspective. Everybody will have a different way of doing things or getting started, or have different reasons of why they want to get into this crazy industry. But my insight, will provide you a little bit of what to expect, hopefully. So these questions I've kind of put together are the basic questions of things I've always been asked as an event planner. So hopefully you find them helpful. If not, then just continue to listen to my sweet, sweet voice. No. I hate my voice, by the way. So it's like, it's so hard for me to like re-listen to my podcast. And at times I'm like, fuck it, just don't edit, just go straight for it, publish it, and don't even listen to what you're saying. But I do, I force myself to do that. So, how did you get involved with planning events? That's usually my number one question that I get asked all the time. And I got into it because of my sister. She started planning events, I would say like when I was 12,
Her wedding was actually the first wedding I ever remembered helping. Prior to that, obviously, I've been into, I've gone to a few weddings, but, you know, when you're a kid, you're just like, oh, this is fun, you know? But when you're actually helping plan and setting up and seeing what it takes to throw a wedding, it's a whole different perspective. So I remember her wedding being the first wedding I really saw what planning really took. I don't even remember if I enjoyed the process. I just really enjoyed hanging out with her. So that was the only thing I can remember for that first time when I was helping her plan a wedding. But she, you know, she eventually got into throwing kids parties, which she was really, really good at and still is good at till now. They were always so colorful and creative. And I found myself, you know, either helping her out in a way of setting up for her events, to the point of being a character sometimes for her kids. So I really had to dive into my dramatics to really pull out that character. But it was fun, you know. It kind of helped me really get out there and do something, you know, weird and creative, if you know you can say that. But it was really getting creative with the decorations. That really was the thing that I loved the most about helping her set up. And then from that, like in high school, I helped throw events, dances, and fundraisers. Even personally, I would throw themed parties. You know, when you're in high school, or I shouldn't even say or condone that this, but you know, when you're young, you would throw parties at your, you know, at your house, and usually it's just like kickbacks and hangouts, but little me always had to put a little theme into it, and people thought it would be weird, but that was just me. I wanted to have like a purpose for this event rather than just hanging out. I wanted to have activities. I wanted to do, you know, so like fun little events. So that's how, you know, my events were, I would say, different when I was younger. But I really didn't think of it as a career, to be honest. It was just something I did that I was good at and had an eye for. So I would just throw parties here and there. I would help friends out with their wedding planning. I would help put together fun corporate meetings. I would usually just throw annual Christmas parties. I've always worked so hard in my other jobs, but event planning really came in so naturally for me. Like, I didn't even notice, it was in me. It was just something that was relaxing and soothing, and you know, like I would just watch television and do my arts and craft or design or plan. And it did not feel like work at all. Like I was just having fun. And, you know, when you go to work, you sort of just put on your work pants and you act a certain way and have this like certain personality because it's a work environment. And I was always myself the most when I would be designing, planning, or hosting events. Like it felt like me, and I didn't need to put an act or put a face and pretend to be something else that I wasn't. It was me, you know. And friends and family would constantly tell us to do something with it and make it official, but I think, you know, my family hesitated a lot because everyone had full-time jobs and couldn't commit to the time it took to run a business, a proper business, an actual running business. So I decided to take that step for everybody. And I really dedicated all my free time to growing it. And, you know, although there's people that really loathe the details and the paperwork, and all that behind the scene planning and setting up a business, I personally obviously really enjoyed it because I learned so much, and a lot of the information I would even take back to my work life. Even recently I've started taking business classes to gain more knowledge and to continue to learn more about my industry, and there's just so much to learn every day, and it's so exciting. I love even the little details and the paperwork and all the signing and all the filling out. Like, all that is exciting to me, and I know that may be weird to some people, but I live for that. What's your favorite part about your job? I think it's really cool and an honor that you get to be part of someone's once in a lifetime moments. Attending an event, especially like a wedding, it's always a huge occasion. And when I was younger, I used to only go to weddings like once in a blue moon, you know, and it would be such a big thing for my family, like like everyone would be so excited to go. And when you finally attend, you just like go for a couple hours and you're like, oh, that's it. When's the next wedding? But now, you know, we have 3 to 4 weddings a month, and, you know, I attend a good chunk of them in a year. And, you know, I still have to pinch myself once in a while because it's like, is this my life? Is this my career? Am I really, do I just go and attend weddings and events like this, like every weekend? Like, who am I? It's crazy. Sometimes I'm like sitting in the back and just watching it happen. And it's so surreal. And it's like, such an adrenaline rush to be part of that. And those memories, like, you know, it's once in a lifetime. And so to be part of that, it's crazy. And to be in someone's, like, I don't know, like, photos of me in their wedding album, sometimes I appear, is crazy. But it's like you're part of the family. You do become part of the family. You invest a lot of time in their event, and there's a lot of back and forth communication. You get to know your clients. You get to know, you know, their emotions and what they're stressed out about. And you're there not only as a, you know, like a, as a client, but you're there as like a friend. So sometimes it gets really personal, and you have to be, because that's what's fun about doing what you do, is that it is a personal thing that you're dealing with, and you're dealing with people's moments and memories. And you have to take it in personally like that, because how else can you do the job? If you see it as a job, you see it, you know, as a repetitive thing, like, okay, here's a ceremony, here's a cocktail, here's a reception. But for me, I always take every single event as unique as it is, because you're dealing with different personalities all the time. Different things happen. So I never feel like every single event is the same. It's so different. As many as I do, every single event is completely different. Next question. 5 things you can't do without. That's a fun little question, but I do get asked that. Obviously, my phone, because it is attached to my hand. Without it, no one can contact me. So obviously, that's a must-have. My laptop, like, this baby goes with me everywhere, because it's where I do my work, I guess. It's hard to do your work on your phone, so my laptop is my life. Obviously, I can't live without my friends, my family, my furry humans. They keep me going. I can't do without coffee, or else I would just be asleep all day. And I cannot do without emergency. Oh my God. Like, I hate being sick. I hate feeling even like a percentage of, oh shit, I'm gonna get sick. Like, I hate it. And so I will do everything and anything I can to prevent that, because I feel like it's such a waste of my life being sick. So yeah, every single day I drink my emergency, and you know, so far so good. Next question. Three qualities of a successful event planner. I think number one, the most important thing, you gotta love what you do. It makes your job so much easier if you love what you do. I get told that even through the phone, people can hear my passion for what I do. They can hear me smiling. They can hear me getting excited, and it's contagious, and it's natural. And it's like, I don't know how many events that I do, and they could be almost the same. Like, I still get so excited to throw each and every event. Like, I don't think I've ever had one where I was like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go. Like, I've never felt like that a moment in my life. Have I not, you know, I've never told myself that I didn't want to do this event. I get so excited for people, and I get so excited planning and helping and getting people started. Like, this is what I love to do. This is what I breathe doing. And when you do love what you do, like I said, it just comes so easy. It doesn't feel like work. I wake up and it's like a jolt of energy and a jolt of life. Just like, oh my God, I'm so excited to be putting this together. Like, sometimes that's why people think I don't sleep, because I get so worked up and I get so excited that I just, you know, plan, and I don't see the time. And it's like, oh crap, I'm awake for like how many hours now planning this event. So yeah, number one, gotta love what you do. Number two, I feel like being organized, or at least detail oriented, is important. You're dealing with so many information coming at you in different platforms and different ways. You have to have a system to where you want to keep all that information in one place. I do things really differently. My assistants do things really differently. And I've told them that I'm not this is my way, you have to do it my way. I will show you how to do it how I feel comfortable in doing it, and then hopefully you'll learn your own process. And so I'm just the type of person that has to have every single thing written out or planned or somehow in my list of things. I just can't have it like not written down. And I'm a little bit of like an old school, new school, kind of in between when it comes to organizing my stuff. I try to keep things as digital as possible to save trees. But at the same time, I love just having to write things down or having paper in front of me. So I try to mix it with a little bit of both. And sometimes it's double the work, but at least, like, you know, if there's a cyber war going on, at least I still have the information written down somewhere, you know? And number three, I think being direct and honest is important. If something can't be done, if something doesn't look good, if something's just out of place, you have to be able to be comfortable to say that to your clients. And for me, I take a lot of pride of being as real as possible. If you ask for my opinion, I will let you know if it looks good, or, you know, I think that's we shouldn't put your budget into doing that. You could save doing this somehow. And I've always like said things and, you know, as nice as possible. But I think that you can't be a yes ma'am to everybody. You know, you need to put your foot down. And I've been known to be very reserved in my decisions, because I always think of the what ifs and scenarios to if something were to happen, do we have a plan B? Do we have a plan C? And so sometimes when I don't see it working out, and even though I plan the way I plan, I have to say no, or I have to warn you or give you a heads up that that might not work. So I think if you're honest and if you're just direct, people will appreciate, you know, and it take your credibility, because you're not just sugarcoating life for them. You're being human, and you're being honest, and you're being real. So I think that's really important when you're dealing with clients. Next question. What the wedding day survival kit should include? To be honest, everything that's in our emergency kit. I swear, that kit grows every single time we have an event. Like, something always comes up to where it's, someone asks me if I have something, and I'm like, shit, like, I wish we did. Why do I not have that in my list? And it's like the most random things that you don't even think of. So then, like, seriously, it just keeps growing. And I can't even believe I can fit everything that I can fit in that emergency kit. It's a freaking suitcase, I swear. But, you know, I would say, obviously, coffee. That's the number one thing, because you need energy. Water, keep yourself hydrated. Lots of pens, because somehow I'm always, like, writing something. I don't know. Someone always needs a pen. Scissors and tape, because somehow something needs cutting and something needs putting together. sticky notes, I would say. Tissues. And wet wipes. Those are usually all the stuff that I have in my little binder or clipboard that I carry around when I'm on an event. And those are usually my go-tos, what I use so often. I feel like someone's at my door yelling really loudly. Can you hear that? Next question. Do you have any tips for not getting too caught up in the trends and really thinking for yourself when planning an event? So my tips, I would say, is before you start going Pinterest crazy, I would, you know, sit down, like if you're planning a wedding especially, sit down with your fiance and just jot all the things that both of you are into, like hobbies, your favorite things, like what makes you guys you individually and as a couple. Just jot it down, like everything. And then now, you know, either on a separate paper, just jot down, like, what is your dream event, like your dream wedding? What would it consist? And I would say, you know, just go crazy. Let your dreams go crazy. Like, what do you expect in your wedding? Now, this exercise has always helped me, because I get so disorganized in my thoughts sometimes. Like, you need to write stuff down. So even jotting words on a piece of paper will help you kind of align and focus and streamline your event a little bit more. Because now, you know, once you've finished jotting down the ideas that, you know, that this event makes it you, and you have kind of like the base of a unique event already written down. And so now it's the next step is to organize those words or whatever you jot down, and then be able to take the next step to getting those things started. So yeah, like just simply writing it all down. Put whatever your thoughts are and put it down. And, you know, don't look up what, you know, a perfect wedding is for everybody. Look up, you know, just go based on what you dream of. What is your dream wedding? And I'll actually talk more about this process in another episode a little bit more specifically. But this is where I would suggest, you know, where to start off when you're planning your style and concept of your event. Get a whiteboard and just write shit down. You know, trends are a good filler, but you should try, I suggest at least try to steer away from that and just do your own thing. And make it about your taste and your style, and you'll really come up with a really unique event when you do. Do you have any networking tips, especially for someone who is more on the shy side or is hesitant about meeting new people? To be honest, and let's sip some wine real quick. To be honest, and most people don't know this about me, but I'm super shy. I know, it's so weird, right? But I'm a Libra, so I like to say I'm probably the most antisocial social person ever. I do get nervous talking to people, and I'm still trying to get used to networking. However, I do believe that it is important to do so. So you can't avoid it. You can't be like, well, I'm gonna, do this without networking. It's where you get your business sometimes. You know, you need to know your resources. You need to get in contact with people who will help you out. So I think it's important no matter how much you want to try to avoid it. But for me personally, I usually just give myself a pep talk before I go into a meeting. You know, I'm personally, I tend to be a bit more comfortable when I'm talking about something I'm familiar with. And so if it's like a event kind of networking, I'm not as nervous as usual. You know, I'm talking about something that I'm pretty knowledgeable about. So it comes easy to me when I talk to people about it. You know, obviously if I go out there and I'm forced to talk about like chemistry, I'll probably roll up in a corner and dig a hole. You know, like it's if you feel comfortable about what exactly you're going to talk about with people, it just comes out easy. And I don't think there's a lot of preparing to do that. You are there to get to know people, and so questions and things like that should just come naturally. Don't force yourself into preparing a list or a few questions. If it helps you, then I would say try to practice asking that prior to doing a network, because it's going to sound so scripted when you're talking to somebody and be like, I have a question, and you bust out with your index cards. Like, it's weird. But yeah, like I mentioned before, I think it comes, you know, if you're passionate, it comes easy. You know, if you're passionate with what you do, the conversation comes easy. It's just, I feel like it's just taking that first step to come up to somebody and introduce yourself is probably the hardest part for me. However, what has helped is I would bring somebody along with me that would help, motivate and we would push each other to try to talk to people. It helps that when you have that awkward silent moment, you have someone who can like filler those conversations. Like, I cringe when it's like so quiet, and I'm usually the person to try to talk and fill those awkward moments. But that would be my tips. Where do you find inspiration for events? Well, not right now, but I would say when I'm traveling a little bit more, I think that's anytime when I travel, I think anything around me is inspiring. You know, like I see color palettes on buildings. I see, style when I'm hiking, or, when I go for an outdoor inspiration. When I go to restaurants, I see place settings, the atmosphere, the decor. When I go to the paper stores, I see textiles. When I visit the fabric store, I see materials. You know, when I go to the retail stores, I see the mood. So pretty much anywhere I go, I get pretty inspired with what I see, and like ideas kicks in. I have Pinterest boards of, which becomes kind of like my mood boards. I, create the style, the imagery. I'm trying to match aesthetics. So that's what I do to kind of keep that creative juice flowing, as they would say. But I think like you should be inspired with everything around you. Keep your eyes open, because that, you know, that's where you kind of see, especially for me, like I do a lot of outdoor weddings, like nature is becoming a trend. But when I'm out there and I'm looking at like what makes it different, I just see everything that's around me. I see the colors, what color combination reminds me of nature, those kinds of things. Like, get out there, you know, be inspired to get out there. Don't build up your mood boards with stuff that you see from Pinterest and you're just trying to copy those things, you know. Be a little bit unique and daring and take risks and find inspiration from anywhere. Are there elements of an event that you feel are overlooked? I would say people's guesstimation on how long things really take. I am a scheduled time person. Like, I am pretty good about guessing how long things actually take. I was curious one time because I wanted to actually see what a wedding would look like time-wise if I made room for every single photo op, had every single wedding element you can think of with multiple destinations, with a full entourage. Like, I just wanted to see exactly what kind of schedule I would come up with that had everything in a wedding, every scenario. And so I came up with the results of hair and makeup starting at 3:15 a.m. With the night ending at 12:30 a.m. the next day. Yep, that's insanity, and people will hate your guts. I'm sure there are people out there who, you know, want to do it all, but, you know, seeing the time that you have, you're pretty much asking for like a 24-hour wedding. So I, you know, pick and choose your battles and plan out a day that keeps you awake most of the time. I, you know, it's doable, but that is insanity for me. How do you market or promote your business? Well, currently right now, I do very little paid marketing. Networking and joining groups has really helped me directly connect to my potential customers. Social media, obviously, and word of mouth. And I would say, like, the events that you host itself, always have your business cards in stock, because that's really the best way you can market yourself. And, you know, when you're hosting an event, just make sure you're out there, you're being helpful to guests, because that's sort of like your audition, your interview. If guests are really impressed on the event that you throw, 100% they're going to ask for your business cards. I don't know how many times I've been in an event where, you know, I've been told or asked, like, do you have a business card? Like, yes, girl, I do. Yeah, those are your potential customers. Those are your potential clients. So be nice to those guests. What important lessons have you learned that every upcoming planner should know? Oh, geez. I would say be responsive. I think timing is everything. You got to be quick when responding to people, because people get anxious, and sometimes it's time sensitive. So you have to be used to being responsive. I always say, like, texting for me, you can get a quick answer from me right away. My emails, they do pile up, and they do get lost in the mix sometimes when it gets really busy. But I still see them, and I still make a notation to respond to them based on how, you know, the importance. And phone calls, I would say, are my last resort. As long as you leave me a message, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. But you want to make sure that you're not leaving your clients, you know, hanging for your answer. So get used to being responsive. As much as you want to do everything on your own, you simply cannot. Delegate. Ask for help. Start hiring an assistant. That was my thing where I just got so burnt out trying to do everything on my own. And it's like, you know what? I wish I just had like another me. And I wish I don't, like, I didn't have to like say stuff. It would just be like a mind, like conversation between the minds. Why have they not come up with that invention yet? No idea. Anyways, another thing, practice your poker face. Like, it's funny that some people don't notice their reactions sometimes. I used to be really bad about it. Like, I'd have a reaction for every single thing that happens, and it, like, provokes people's reactions, too. So I had to really make sure I had a good poker face when shit goes down. You want to make sure things are calm and you're keeping it calm. So practice your poker face. And lastly, you're going to make mistakes and just learn from it and move forward. Like, I've spent so much time dwelling on the I could have done this or what could I have done differently. But things just happen, and it's a waste to just like sit there and kind of cry about it. So just move forward and learn. How do you balance work life? And such a busy schedule. This is probably my number one question I get all the time, because people see how busy things can get and they're just like, do you sleep? You know, the answer is no, I don't. I am a vampire, actually. Just kidding. So yeah, I don't do it well, to be honest. I think some people are surprised that I can do and fit in a lot of tasks in a day, and I can actually finish those things. But I kind of live for the moments of like crossing stuff out on my to-do list. So I don't like putting things off the next day. So I have to really keep focused and get it done that day, you know? Scheduling is a must-have for me. I schedule in everything in my life. I have separate schedules for my workouts, separate schedules for my personal events, separate schedule for my business, separate schedule for my work life. I have a calendar docked on my laptop, reminder notifications in my of my calendar every morning on my phone. I have a whiteboard that has my list of daily goals to accomplish that I, you know, just erase every time I get done. So that's, for me, that's how I make sure I don't forget shit. And then when I know and when I see I'm having a packed day, I start to schedule in the time to make sure if I can even fit it in. Because sometimes we have very unrealistic goals for ourselves to get done in a day. So if you start to put durations on each single task and put times on there, you can see that you're like, fuck, I don't actually have time to do all of this. So I have to push priorities here and there. So it's nice to visually see that somewhere written down. Making sure I fit in a good exercise is important to me because it keeps me energized, and I usually schedule that in the middle of the day. It's a nice little boost. I start to kind of slump during lunchtime, so that's usually when I'm like, fuck, I need to hit the gym real quick, get a little bit boost of energy, come back to work and finish out the rest of the day. But I still, you know, I still need to get better and, you know, scheduling my lunches, my meals and all that stuff. I suck at having a breakfast and taking a lunch. I always miss a lunch. But, you know, I always make it a point to always schedule my personal, you know, outings once a week. I need to have at least a lazy weekend once a month. I know during the summer can be a little bit difficult, but that's because that's, you know, our busy season. But, you know, force yourself to have a life. Work is not everything. You got to take care of the important relationships around you. You know, I've taught my dogs to judge me when I start to work too much. You know, they remind me to be human, you know, get some sun, have fun and relax, take road trips, go on walks, see the world, or else what's the purpose of it all if it's not having the moments of gratification of your hard work? But yeah, that's how I try. And I'm still working on having a life, so don't take my word for this. And then last question. How should they really measure the success of an event, or how should you really measure the success of an event? Something will always go unplanned, so you have to celebrate the ones that ends up working out, to be honest. I've come really close to a perfect event, but there's always that one thing that didn't work out the way you wanted it to work out. So, you know, like weather conditions happen, people's actions happen, a lot of things that you can't control, and they will happen. You know, sometimes I find myself at the end and I am always, you know, I always come back with a list of things I could have done better, and the list will always, you know, it'll be for my eyes only. I don't necessarily like tell them to everybody, because then, you know, some people feel like they come out of the event like, shit, that was such a perfect event. But I'm such a nitpicky person for my own good. And I always have something to be better at. So, you know, every event is different and something new will always happen, and I will always learn from it. So I think that in a way that's kind of good that I do that, but also I need to, you know, celebrate all the little victories as well. Like, I need to make the time to be happy that things did work out. And I think you can't really measure the success. You just have to be grateful that things did work out. But anyways, yeah, so hopefully you've learned something from all that I've said. If not, hopefully my voice put you to sleep. So hopefully I did some good today. Until next time, have a wonderful Wednesday, you guys. Love what you heard on this week's episode of Wine and Wed. Well, the fun doesn't have to stop here, you guys. Join us next week for more ramblings and drinking. It would mean the world to us if you could leave us a 5-star review. Spreading the word really is the best way to grow our podcast and achieve even greater things. So bye for now, and thanks again for listening. Have a great week, everyone.